What do I think you should be expanding or declining in? Things you like the most. Second can be the things that make most business sense. If you don't like it and you're doing it because it's the money, you fall into what people lost money on NFTs, people lost money on cannabis, people lost money on fashion brands. People chase the thing they think the money's in, but they don't actually like it or like it enough. Three, things you're good at or the people you have.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Over and under expansion comes from two things: the subjective opinion and strategy of the founder, and number two, the capacity of that founder to build family.
Yeah.
Right? And when I say build family, I mean, you know, you've gone too fast, either because you're defining that as the things that have worked or not worked. You're defining that, thank you so much, Joe. You're defining that based on how you feel about your leadership, right? If you're feeling amazing about her, well then you're like, oh, the campaign agency is good. If you're not feeling great about and what he's doing over here, then it's not going well. So for a lot of us in this room, in different, like, what I like about this format is sometimes the advice hits for everyone. Every single person in this room's 100% variable of how much they could expand is completely predicated on their relationship with the people that are leading those subdivisions, those projects, those companies, those offices. And this is why I spend so much time talking about the people dynamics. So, you know, if I go back to that time, or if I'm thinking about today, it's a very similar game, which is, A, how do I sit with people? Watch this. How long have you been here?
Me?
Yeah.
11 years.
Nine.
Yeah.
Two.
Yep. James?
Eight and a half.
Dust?
Five.
Yeah. Let's keep going. Merrill?
Eight and a half.
Right? Like, yeah. And there's obviously newer people, like, you're, but like, that's a lot of eight, nine, tens.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. And by agency standards, across this whole company, it's unheard of. Why? Because we really do focus on the relationship part of the people that work here, and it ebbs and flows. When I look at all of them, there's been different times when they've been overly busy, sometimes not as busy. Like, what I'm very good at is, somebody was talking to me the other day, who's been here for 9 years, and literally saying they feel guilty because they don't feel like they've been productive for the last three. And I said, that has a lot to do with the way your first six worked. Five of your first six, you worked way too crazy. Mm-hmm. You were hungry. We were close enough that you were feeling, you didn't even realize we were working that much because it just felt fun. And I'm like, and then COVID happened, and then different, you know, and again, like, again, you know, ironically, actually, Jesse, Joe, Maribel, James, they've all worked at VaynerMedia before. Sasha, those are different speeds, different things. They've had different roles. You know, we've talked about different, like, there's so many different things going on. So I think a couple things. One, to answer you directly, what do you like doing the most? Is a very good, like, if you're going into notes mode, number one, what do I think you should be expanding or declining in? Things you like the most. You personally, the things you like the most. Second can be the things that make most business sense. Almost everyone starts with business sense. Where's the most money? Where's the most opportunity? To me, I think that's important. But I always find when it's a human, all of the sizes that our companies are, if you don't like it and you're doing it because it's the money, you fall into what people lost money on NFTs, people lost money on cannabis, people lost money on fashion brands. People keep chasing the thing. People lose money on social media when they expand it. Like, people chase the thing they think the money's in, but they don't actually like it or like it enough. So things you like the most, number two, things where you see the business opportunity. It's still important to know the addressable market and how good is the opportunity. Three, things you're good at, or the people you have that are good, or the people you have,
yeah.
Right? Like, one of the things that's very obvious to me is most leaders, when they start to expand, hire someone they think is good at the thing, but they themselves are not good at the thing. Killer, crushes people, right? Because they don't even know how to judge the thing.
Yeah.
So those things stand out for me tremendously. Early on in the first 3-4 years of Vayner, I was very good at training up people.
Yeah.
Then for 5 or 6 years, I got away from it because I was thinking about, not that I cared any less about it, I felt a couple things happened. There was enough people around to do osmosis, plus I was trying to learn other things and bringing in other capabilities. Then 4 years ago, I'm like, wait a minute, we're not good at social media. which would make everyone be surprised here. And not like you're not good at social media. I mean, by my standards, yeah. That there was a big delta.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly the thing.
We were growing. But we were growing because we're competing with a world that's really bad at social media. And I realized that the delta between me and the companies was so great. I've even, you know, as James knows, for the last year, Sasha team, one big thing right now is that Vayner over COVID for 3 years really got its shit together. And now I'm like, hey, Sasha, I want to get our shit together. Like, so, you know, one thing you need to do is a couple things. Don't get crippled by the company not being as good at the craft as you are. Figure out how good the company is at the craft compared to the other things that companies could hire. I wasn't judging VaynerMedia against Gary V. I was judging VaynerMedia against Droga5, against Social Code, against its competitive set. Sometimes a founder has ego wrapped up in their own capabilities and it cripples them because they think the machine is not executing to their level. but you're not comparing the machine compared to the other machines.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really good chance that I'm one of the true best people at social media. And like a lot of data supports that. I can't expect 2,000 people to be doing it as well. Plus they can't do it as well. The clients aren't letting us.
Right.
So there's a lot of that, right? So I think that's a framework that you need to get comfortable with. Don't compare it against what you want the work quality to be. Compare it against the alternatives of what they could be doing with that same money. And that always gave me peace of mind. Because boy, oh boy, are people really bad at social media as agencies, and especially creative agencies trying to do it. And even like standalone social media agencies, really the truth is the people that are really good at it are doing it for themselves, not doing it for clients. I was weird in that I had a crazy big vision that I was like, I felt that I could do both and I ended up being right, but even in my earliest days, I'm like, well, I should just do this for myself. But I knew that I wanted to build this massive machine, mainly on the back that I knew I was gonna have relationships with people for a long time and felt I could. I think the biggest vulnerability is that as everybody on earth that doesn't live in this exact city has a feeling that they're not, like even in the, like even like, even big places like San Francisco and LA and Chicago have inferiority complex to New York. That's America. You start getting into places like, I get 100 emails a year. I'm the third biggest in Poland, but it sucks. I'm feel scared, too small. And I'm like, and I always try to tell those, and I'm excited to tell you this. Until you have fucking 50% market share of Austria,
yeah.
Don't talk to me about this place is too small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, people love to say, my country's too small, Gary. I'm like, you do 0.00001% of the business in your country. And so they get so fixated on the ideology that they're in a smaller country without realizing like you could do 20 times more business. You should focus on the most profitable product you can sell to people based on the realities of the budget in your marketplace. That is also something you feel good about.
Yeah.
If you can't create a business, it's why the Sasha Group exists. Your question is actually answered in the meta of us even being in this room.
Yeah.
So many people were coming to VaynerMedia that looked more like us, because I'm us. Much more than Pepsi and Starbucks, that I was like, we're saying no to everybody because I couldn't make the math work. Okay, cool, thanks for reaching out. Do you have $500,000 a year minimum to get out of bed? All of you are like, no, I'll keep watching your videos. And then my brain's like, this is stupid. Like, let's figure out how to create a company that does provide value for $5,000 or $50,000 or $100,000. And so we built something from scratch. You could do the same thing. Your fourth company could be the one that actually is more in tune with the actual budgets of Austria. Or you could expand your services to Germany, which is a much bigger market. Sure. You could.
Yeah.
It just depends on you.
Yeah.
I keep going back to people because the reason you're not in Germany in a big way competing at the highest levels is you need teammates that can hold it down in Germany. Mm-hmm. Or you need to move to Germany. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but those become the real options. Make sense?
Absolutely.
So it's one of two. You either understand, okay, I need to build family. And then I feel comfortable sending someone to Germany because you can't have, I learned a lot of great things in my dad's store. Like, the people who were at the register, you needed to kind of trust.
Yeah. Sure.
Right? So if you're gonna fucking open an office in Germany, the reason you haven't, or I haven't, is I don't have the, one of the things I keep trying to build scale, like, Maribel doesn't even notice. I'm like, the other day in a meeting, literally, this is real talk. I said to Marcus, I'm like, you think Maribel would leave America? Because we're thinking about expansion. And this is like a real, I know I'm funny and I say personal stuff out loud, I'm sorry, but did they reach out to you already?
James maybe.
Yeah, like, right, you know, right?
I'm not going to.
So. James knows that everyone's in play at every moment. He's happy to hold on to you as long as possible. Yeah. Right, they talked to you, right, Maribel? They did, right? Yeah, Marcus, like, these are like, so why? Because I know I'm family with Maribel. She was close to me when she worked in proper Vayner for 3 years. Then she worked directly for me in the office CEO. We really got close during that time. We talk. We talk now the way I talk to like Brandon or my mom. I don't have to talk to her every day, but we're talking. Even looks in the office. That lets me say, would Maribel move to Columbia? Like these are like real things you can say to yourself that are real. Yeah. You can't do that if you don't have family. I can't do that. Yeah. We haven't had the time for me to be able to do that with, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But, you know, but he did go to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like from New York, like grew up in Jersey, like in New York, and we're like, we're opening up. And he actually went for how long? 4?
7 years.
7.
Yeah.
You know, like. This is why everyone here is completely limited.
Yeah.
Completely based on how much they built family.
Yeah.
Family. You can't grow because you're too scared. You're too smart. You won't take the risk because you don't know, you know, you won't know who that person is. So what I would do right now for every business here is build as many teammates that are forever as possible from day one. Hire a kid off the street for $12 an hour, like to be like making some, like be like, you want to be here for San Francisco, $20 an hour, like to, you know, to you know, you from, and you know this, some of you know this, you know, like, I'm weird. Day one, I'm like, you're gonna be here forever? Mm. I'm like, I know you don't know how to answer that yet, but do you want to be? Are you that kind of person? If you don't want to be, that's amazing. I'm not trying to get you to say yes.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get into your mind and see what kind, like, and so, yeah. And you know, what happens after time is then people start seeing things happen. People saw him go and be a leader in Echo. People saw these all go to Sasha, and people saw Nate and Trouty, who were like, both started as interns, become my partner in a wine brand. And people start to see things, then everyone believes you. They don't believe, by the way, nobody believed me at first.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person, I was like, they didn't believe me, and that's okay, I didn't expect them to believe me. But they believe me now.
Mm.
And that's what you want to start building from day one. That is your limiter.
First of all, thank you for everything. I've been following you since 2013.
Humbled.
You've definitely helped me navigate a lot. We have a similar story. I wasn't a good student, started off in high school airbrushing t-shirts, literally in my grandfather's garage. Built a wooden spring for the press, all of that.
Now, love it.
Doing executions with the Warriors.
And it's crazy, right?
It's crazy. I mean, just from the ground up of just doing and learning. So that's how I've always been.
Same.
I guess my question is around infrastructure. So I took a step back from, I used to make a lot of content. I had our in-house manufacturing facility, did all screen printing right across the street from Tesla, did a lot of stuff with that. Realized I was miserable.
Good for you.
And so in 2017, I sold the manufacturer and I went into, I'm like, we're more of like a creative agency.
Right.
Where we want to.
You tapped into what you liked.
Yeah, exactly. And the merchandise part, we liked that, but it was a piece of it. It wasn't the whole thing.
Right. You didn't have to do that part. Right,
exactly. And so I realized, oh, we can partner.
Gotcha.
And ever since we did that, everything kind of
got better.
Worked out.
Good for you.
And so
notice how it started with him knowing what he liked. So many people at the table are doing shit they don't like, but it's just still making $1 million.
Exactly.
Or still doing fine. It's killing people. Keep going.
And that transition was hard because
super hard.
To print t-shirts, and that's how I made my money. So it was a leap of faith, and it was hard in the first couple of years, but we slowly built it. I took a step back from making content. I would do videos and stuff like that. And in 2019, I had my daughter, my first kid.
Good for you.
And I realized like all the content that I was putting out was to like kind of for validation, more
flexing.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I took a step back and I have not put out any content in any time. Built the infrastructure of the business, got it into a really good place. And so now.
You feel like you're ready to come back?
Yeah.
Good for you.
So we're looking to launch a company called Doing Everything Different, a media company that's basically all the stuff that our agency does, but from a brand standpoint, so not an agency standpoint. So.
Brand consulting?
Media, collaborations, and product.
I understand.
And so looking at how we want to scale that up, and I'm just wondering just from a...
And you see a path where your personal brand can be a lead gen to launching it and getting business development.
For sure, 100%.
That's good.
And it brings some stuff to the world because I think that from my experience and how I grew up and the stuff that I learned.
You're gonna do for people what I did for
100%.
You. That's right.
And that's 100% what
is a motivator.
Like
not to mention, when that little girl grows up, it's gonna be cool for her to see her dad's Yeah.
100%.
My kids are starting to get to the place where I'm like, oh my God,
yeah.
All that shit I used to talk about 10 years ago is about to become true. You know?
Right.
You know?
And it's so.
So what's the? I got you.
Yeah, yeah. So I think just infrastructure, right? So like,
what do you need to pull that off?
Yeah, and how do we just? Where the agent? Where we have never really like done that internally. So I'm just wondering how you set up the different departments. Like, what is that? What does it look like?
Really, it's somebody who. There's multiple things you can go about a bunch of different ways. A couple things. One, if I'm you. You're trying to put your, like one thing that's amazing for me is I live my life and content comes from it. Like I'm not really a content producer. It's why I can be 4 times bigger on TikTok if I was a full-time content producer. TikTok's such a specific platform where I can't get away with the shit I got away with on Instagram and Facebook where it's just the videos. You gotta kind of do it and I don't have that time. This is what I do for a living. But you can absolutely build up a couple ways. One, going on small podcasts to interview you is a killer. It will crush. Like, because you're just doing it anyway, and then you're just post-producing from the content. You need somebody who can do design and video.
Yep.
That could be one and or two people, right? You need somebody who really cares to know a little bit about the platforms. Like, you really need to know. And look, everything I'm about to say could be 5 people, it could be one person. It's hard to find one supernova. But to win in this game, you have to produce it, so you have to make it. Film, post-produce it, make the images, right? So Photoshop or Final Cut, right? Like, you know, you need someone who understands the platforms, the platform strategy, like knowing that green screens work or posting 3 times a day. Or like, today, you know, Dustin, you know this, in our thread, someone on the team said, Gary, we're testing, using the word quit versus the word stop is making your content do way better. We call this the S&SOC, strategic organic content. So good news, the best part about starting now versus 3 years ago, organic content's back. You're one TikTok away, one Instagram away, right? So, you know, 3 years ago, it was hard. You had to build followers and be like, fuck, that's a grind. You had to pay ads. Now your content can be seen and can explode on one post. Harder? I was yelling and screaming about TikTok 4 years ago. Now it's supply and demand. It's harder. But YouTube Shorts, you know, Facebook Reels is incredible. YouTube Shorts, they're gonna go through a lot of this over the weekend. What I would say is, for you personally, based on making some assumptions of the size of the business, kids that you're putting on at minimum wage that actually care about making this content. Every small business needs to drive down the cost of creative. For me, the way you drive down the cost of creative is you put kids on who are thrilled to get paid minimum wage, not kids who are like, fuck you. There's groups that are thrilled, there's groups that are fuck you. You as a business have to find the group that's thrilled. And it's always good for a street kid because you're not worried about them going to Stanford.
Right.
You know that you made it from the street, then you know anyone can do the same.
Right.
Plus so many kids want this job, but it's platform, it's creative, and then it's putting you in a position to make output. This is a big one. This is why I want you to do podcasts, because it made you make 4 pieces of content. 4Ds, this project exists because I want the content.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
This is not ROI positive for me.
Mm.
It's not. But it's ROI positive when I magnify.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Yep.
Same for you. You're busy.
Right.
So you got to figure out, you know, do you want to do The Office and have one person who's an intern just film your whole company and you're just putting out shit on fucking YouTube? You could.
Yeah, I think we have the team in place to be able to do it for right now that we're setting up. It's more so of like, from a standpoint of platforms that you use to communicate, is it all through text thread, is it through Slack? Like,
oh, with each other?
Yeah, from
oh, that's fucking choice of like, I hate structure.
Yeah.
Because I think people fall in love with the structure over the output. So our team runs on WhatsApp.
Mm.
Okay.
The whole team. I mean, they've got their own shit. What else do you fucking use? Asana?
Slack.
No, Dustin. What else do you guys
Slack.
Use? Slack. I don't even fuck like. Speed. And I always think like, you got such a small company.
Yeah.
Let them talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Let them work and talk.
And how do you build that from a standpoint, because everybody's remote now.
You like that?
And we went from having an office to everybody kind of all over the place. We did a team offsite recently.
Dude, I'm thinking, you know, honestly, bro, this is the biggest thing I'm worried about is the following. It is now crystal clear to me that, and we have so many because we've grown so much, that every 24-year-old that works here, AKA 2 years out of school, been working here for 2 years, is super behind people 5 years ago, 2 years in. They're losing out on osmosis in the office. And it's not even close. And I'm fucked up because I want to make it good for them. But I know if I come down with like 5 days a week in the office, they're like, you are a fucking tyrant. And I'm like, fuck, what do I do with this shit? Because it's so crystal clear to me that the osmosis of the office was teaching them. I mean, kids are way behind. Like, there's some smart kids in my company that I can see that I'm like, oh shit. Like, everything's a meeting now.
Yeah.
It takes you 2 weeks to do a meeting when you used to be like, yo, can you explain this to me? Okay, good. Like, so, yeah. Couple things. How big are you?
About 20 people.
You know, if I wish I had 20 because I'd start the path on, no, really, I wish I had 20 because I'd start on the path of like, hey, 6 month warning, back in the office. You're not about that life, let's talk. But like, cool, five of you are not, I'm gonna rehire those five positions. Because I think at 20, it matters. Or you go on Zoom full time, everyone's on the whole time. You gotta find, like, I've been thinking a lot about like mandating everybody on the team being on the same stream, non-meeting, in Zoom so they can talk. Like literally unmute and be like, yo, John, can you help me real quick? And they go off and like, I gotta figure out either to force back people in seats in serendipity or create it virtually, because the non-serendipity moments, hit on Slack, set up a meeting next Tuesday, what the fuck?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Next Tuesday was 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me, it's hard. I have thousands and it's like a whole corporate to do. Right. For you at 20, you know, of that 20, if they're working like the rest of the world, half already know they want to be back together.
Yeah, it's just everybody's all over the place now. Especially
I get it. I got it. Then put everybody at 20. I would put everybody on a Zoom. Yeah. If you work 9 to 5, you're on Zoom 9 to 5, in the background. Try it.
Yeah.
Try it. Otherwise, it gets really hard.
You can do it in Discord too.
Yeah, Discord, Discord could be good.
Yeah.
Just use technology to try to create osmosis. Is the real North Star. Let's keep going. Yep.
Nick.
Oh, cool. I just, at that point, I remember the first time I ever came to this office that James brought me here and you had people sitting in the stairway because they couldn't get a desk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, and like the buzz and the osmosis, yeah, and it matters. And like people complain about things that they're creating for themselves. Like literally, Gary, I'm feeling lonely. I'm like, come to the office. But the commute. And I'm like, okay, what do I do with that? Help me here. You're lonely, but you don't want to commute? Like, I'm not a genie, you know?
So basically, just a quick background, I started my business back in 1981 out of my parents' basement. I was in the printing business, typesetting, you know,
yep,
servicing other printers,
yep,
things like that. Grew it to a small printing business, then grew it to an agency. So that's kind of the short form of,
yep,
of my trajectory. And at where I am now today, and I'm looking at all the things that are going on, and you know, when I talked to James about the situation, I said, what is it for me, in order, obviously everybody's looking at scaling their business and how do I get bigger and all of those other pieces, but I want to know about telling the story as it relates to social media, because I was really kind of outside of it because I'd been in business for a while and I was moving along, you know, paying my bills and people work for me and I'm okay, I'm comfortable, I go on trips, I do what I want to do.
I know.
And I say to myself, well, wait a minute, now I am at this point in my career and I'm like, no. Either you're going to think about when you're going to retire, or you're going to start pushing this thing and putting your foot on the accelerator.
Not to mention,
you know,
the longer you stay out of it, the more market share you lose. There's also that part.
Yeah, most assuredly. So I was very excited about this because I'm really looking. I understand about storytelling, but I want to understand if there is a formula to that storytelling as it relates to social media.
Well, let's talk about what would you, let's go even more raw. What would you like to accomplish? More customers?
Certainly more customers, more quality customers.
Of course.
Right? More quality customers. But yes, more customers in order to grow the business and then, of course, to scale the business.
Of course.
You know, just obviously, my objective too is to scale a business for sale.
Of course.
Okay. I mean, I've already sold a business, one of my other businesses before, so I know what that's like.
Yep.
For people who go their entire life and not figure out how to sell a business.
Yep.
So I know how that works. And I understand the formula of that, but there's also pieces I want to do after. You know what I mean? You know, consulting and things of that nature.
Right, so the bigger you build your personal profile, the more likely you can sit on a board or consult or things of that nature.
Perfect, there you go, bingo. That's it.
My intuition is you need to think about the format I did with Ask Gary Vee and Tea with Gary Vee. Your biggest strength by a country mile is 1981. You can't fade experience. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, it's when you think about a world of competitive options, you one of your biggest competitive leverage points is being in business for 40 years for yourself is being in business for 40 years yourself. And that's really hard to, you know? And so, you know, I think a couple things. Where are we at with LinkedIn? Anywhere yet? Have we even started this journey?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Have started?
Tell me what you noticed, that some of your old contacts found.
Yeah, basically how I've been using LinkedIn, because I've been in business for so long, my objective of using LinkedIn was slightly different than other people.
Of course.
For new people.
Of course.
I'm just looking to reconnect with the thousands of people I already know. Okay. Who can come to me and say, hey Vic, oh my, holy shit, I forgot about you. I saw you on LinkedIn. This happens to me now all the time.
Of course.
I saw you on LinkedIn. Oh my God, I need you for this particular
Vic, project. Have you gone down and like sat down and gone through your phone and your email contacts and like sat with like a beverage of your choice for like a full day together with your team?
I'm gonna be Grand Marnier, but go ahead.
Respect. So have you sat down with Grand Marnier on the rocks and said, have you gone through your phone from A to Z and gone through it and then linked up with the people on LinkedIn?
Only in pieces.
So good.
Only
so
in pieces.
Straight up.
Yeah, only in pieces.
Super, I love the time of year we're in. Immediately, I need you to act as if you took a personal day or went on vacation mm-hmm. and take an entire full day or two, mm-hmm. a Thursday and Friday, mm-hmm. and literally go from A to Z on your phone and from A to Z on your Google or your mail. You know how if you just type in, like,
right.
I literally want you to have another tab open and connect, just connect with every single person on LinkedIn.
Got it.
Because what's gonna happen is 8 to 20% of those people are gonna link back with you. But all of them, because you've connected with them, have a higher likelihood of seeing your content. Hmm. The essence sock. Mm-hmm. Got it?
Got it. Got it.
Cool. That's just a little sidebar that everyone here should do.
But that but see,
how often are you posting on LinkedIn?
For right now, we're doing 3 days a week. I did a little bit of research on that. They say the best days to post is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We kind of ping-pong back and forth. We did 5 days a week, but I noticed that his reach decreased.
Per post?
Yes.
But what about net?
Hmm. Now, it's increased.
Net. So one of the things that, one of the things that people make a mistake on is they're like, oh, I'm getting 700 views per post now. When I was doing 5 days a week, I was doing 500 posts. And I'm like, right, but one is 2,500 views and one's 2,100 views if you go 3 times 7 versus 5 times 5. Mm. So just do a quick look on what happened with net. The other thing is, what I really want for all of you is to get to the content that does well to inform your content going forward. So I'm less worried about how well each individual piece goes for all of you. I want you to take more at-bats to be better at it. So right now what's happening is too many people are trying to be cute and like higher quality, less quantity, because it deep down, because it's easier. Like, because it's work, it's hard. You got other things, I get it. I'm not judging. But I'm trying to tell everybody, you're all trying to get better at tennis. And if you practice 5 days a week instead of 3 days a week, you'll be better at tennis in 24 months. One of the things I'm concerned about is when people go with that model is they're not doing enough pieces of content to figure out the thing that's gonna work. If I wasn't posting as often, I don't know if I would have gotten into a lot of the content I got into because I wouldn't have the feedback loop from all the content. So what, you know, one of the things you all need is to post about more shit. So like, it's not just like the journey of branding, it might also be like the post that might change your business is what it feels like to be a girl dad.
What did really well was therapy. I did how therapy can change your business and it like.
Go figure,
yeah.
Right? Like for you, it's storytelling.
And that's...
And you, when you said story, like...
You posted here, something from when I first... One of my businesses that I started years ago. I was on Home Shopping Network. I started this poetry business.
Yep.
And Channel 2 News did an interview.
Yep.
Well, I was able to dig it up.
And post it.
And we and we actually... digitized because it was on a free
VHS. Yeah, of course.
And we're able to and post it. You have no idea how many people reach out.
Of course.
Holy shit, Vic, you have black hair, and you know.
Vic, the other thing you haven't done is you haven't played with it. So you posted it. What about doing a split screen like I do, where you play 13 seconds from it and then do 2 minutes of your observation of it?
Right.
You know what would be a mate? One of the things I love about having a library is in 20 years making content where I'm telling you what was in my mind at the time, or what I didn't tell you at the time, or couldn't tell you at the time, or didn't understand at the time. Mm-hmm. So I also think story time with you would be huge.
Okay.
As someone who has like gift of gab and like I sense your energy, just what I would do if I were you is I would tell stories of big mistakes. Notice it.
Well, that's a life.
But like, I love telling the story of passing on Uber twice because I overextended myself on an apartment, and see the one time I overextended myself and didn't live my thesis, it bit me in the ass because I would have made $500 million on Uber if I invested normally like I always did. Like, you've got plenty of stories of the, and I'll get,
sure.
I've always wanted, and I'm probably at that point in my career, and you definitely are, I think the best series that an OG can do is 20 part series on things I said no to that cost me. Because mm-hmm. most business people say no too much.
Right.
And so like, if you can think about like, and like, this is where it gets fun. This is where maybe like two Grand Marnier's on the rocks make you remember shit you forgot about.
Yep.
Like, you know, like, you know what I think a lot about? I think a lot about the meetings I didn't take and how they could have been the meeting. And sometimes you just don't even know, but sometimes you do know. And so like, there's some things to talk about there.
Yeah, okay, that's fantastic, thank you.
You got it.
All right, Andrew.
So far, lots of great things to cipher through. So my background is I was a footwear designer for 17 years. I've worked for Beyonce, I've worked for Kenneth Cole, I've done all this great product, and actually Joe's wife is in the footwear biz as well. And so coming up with this company, my joke is always that I have a landfill out there with my name on it. I was building all this great product. I was building product for Costco and Payless and Marshalls and TJ Maxx. And I found myself in this position of like, what now? Like, I've been doing this for so long and I'm not feeling passionate about it anymore. And happy circumstance, ended up in a master's for sustainability and had a TaskRabbit come to my apartment. They helped me go through my closet and they pulled out this bag and they're like, what is this? And I was like, oh, that's alterations I have to do. And they're like, are you gonna do them? And I was like, And so I, you know, I ended up donating them, and I looked back at that. I'm like, wait, hold on. Like, I'm literally in a master's for sustainability. I love fashion, and that bag probably had the best things in my closet that I had a story for to tell, and I wasn't telling it. And so I started asking people, well, do you have a bag in the back of your closet? And it was either the trunk of a car or the back of a closet. And Kate's one of our customers, and for her, and I was part of that Luminary community. And so we started seeing this opportunity that every single person here has something in their closet that something is wrong with, whether it's a tear or a button, anything. So how do we solve that problem? So for the customers, I've asked you that question.
So smart.
Thank you. For small businesses, you have mom and pop shops who are being totally, you know, broken by this technology that's helped air and travel and all these things, but they're left behind. So my question is gonna be small brands, customers, brands, easy. We're taking their budget dollars for sustainable initiatives and effectively using them to badge them with local tailors. So Macy's, you buy something in New York, but let's say you bought it online and you live in Kentucky, how are they connecting you with a tailor or a cobbler in your location that you can connect with? And so finally, the planet. We, you know, if you can extend the life of your clothes by just a few months, you can actually decrease your carbon footprint by 20 to 30%. All that to say, I have these four main stakeholders, and I love them all so much, and we're about to start our pre-seed fundraise. and I, my co-founder, her background's engineering, consulting. She's worked for luxury brands and data and analytics, and I'm the, I talk for a long time, and I love what I do, and I'm so happy and excited. How do I most effectively speak to these four stakeholders, speak to investors, and create that roadmap for them? Because like my real vision is reinvigorating the industry through certifications and trainings and making it so sexy to repair and revive your wardrobe that we're actually taking these designers out of school who are absolutely like, I literally had no idea this is what designing was, and giving them the opportunity to work directly with people and learn from these like skilled artisans who are not passing down their work.
Understood. With the purpose in the short term to raise capital?
Yes.
So, I think that in the short term, there's only two ways that you would do that. One is go bananas on you being the face of the brand and doing content, or two, you going through an exercise similar to the last one of, I do not think business people realize that almost all the gold is in their iPhone contacts from A to Z. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's really wild to me. Like when I think about, notice how like you just gave a beautiful like statement.
That's and the nicest thing anyone's ever said.
No, it's really like, yeah. It's the reason I gave you the answer of maybe you should be making a lot of content. I think it would go well.
Yeah.
But notice how when I got to speak after all of that, I just went right to the punchline, mm-hmm. which is like right now you need capital. Mm-hmm. And so I go to, yes, I could tell you to start making unlimited TikToks and LinkedIn, and in 7 months you'd probably get inquiries. Mm-hmm. Or I could literally ask you to make a video or six, so they're not all the same, and be like, hey friend, I'm actually texting this to about 20, 30 of my friends on my cell phone to tell you like what I'm up to. If you give me 3 minutes, just watch this. And you make like four different versions, because obviously from A to Z, you have the people you talk to often. Then you have tier two. Then you have tier three that you haven't talked to in 6 months to a year, but you kind of know. Mm-hmm. And then you have tier four, you're like, I'm not even sure if I know this person, right?
Yeah.
You kind of need to make a video for all of them. And literally, what's your Grand Marnier? Water, so, wine, coffee, what do you drink?
Depends on the day.
Fair enough. Same. Literally, if you're raising capital, I think it's in your phone. Mm. Literally.
Follow-up question.
Please.
I have been building this brand for the last...
I apologize for a second. And so for like all of you, literally the video is like, and again, four groups. Homies, kind of homies, know them pretty solid but haven't talked in a year, mm-hmm. have no fucking idea who this is, and making four different videos, and literally for you it's like, hey, I'm just doing business development, hope you've been well. Like, because remember, the first 13 seconds for those four groups are gonna be very different.
Yeah.
Hey, the fourth one. Hey, how you been? Just doing some karma out here. Wanna tell you what I've been up to and what I want, which is I want some customers on my shit. Hit me back with what you're up to, maybe I can help you, just some karma. That's gonna land. versus your first group where the text would be like, hey, I made this video for like my 25 closest friends, watch it. Because you know you can get away with that video. Anyway, keep going.
So I've been building this for the last couple years, and luckily I like thrive in the awkward, and I have the goldfish memory, like I keep going. But what we built was a mobile tailoring company, and what we saw was that it's really labor intensive and asset heavy. And so I've always thought of it like I have a quota to reach with my friends. And I, through the pandemic, we built a New York City face mask initiative. We made 40,000 masks for frontline providers using tailors because we were supposed to launch the company on March 20th, 2020. But it was an amazing, like,
of course.
I
wouldn't change it, yeah.
Of
yep,
like,
happiness.
What is this community and mm-hmm. this family I've built? Here's the interesting thing that now I'm like, I get it. I know what I'm doing. And I feel like I've tapped, like...
You've tapped everyone.
Yeah, and I don't want to annoy people. But I also am like, no, I've got it now. Come back.
Tell them the truth. Make different videos. You know that your best homie, you've actually like truly cried wolf, not only on this project, but through the years. And so that person's got to hear something different than me who met you once at a conference and you have my info. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the bottom line. What's the alternative?
Yeah.
Like, as long as you're empathetic in your communication, look, everything that is, anytime I've ever wanted to sell anything, when Empathy launched, when I had books, V Friends, I go into the rare occasion of empathetic sales mode. And I go into a cocoon, sometimes a 20-hour flight. I've actually gone to our Asia office once because I had to work for 10 straight hours and didn't think I could do it any other way besides taking a flight to Asia. That's how hard it is to sometimes get into the zone for some of us.
Yeah.
Other people, I've never done this. Actually, that's not true. When I had to do VFriends, I knew that I had to draw 250 people. I literally rented, one of Mona's friends had a house in Malibu and was like, come and stay. And I went for a week with five or six of the crew and just drew. Just was creative. This is the biggest thing you're working on. You have to go off the grid and ask everybody from A to Z. Again, in context. Maybe for you it's 700 videos because every one of the people you've annoyed needs their own individual. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because here's my question. What's the alternative? This is the worst fundraising market we've had in forever.
Yeah.
The end. You're not gonna, it's so hard to raise capital. If you're gonna raise capital, the terms are gonna be obnoxiously bad.
Yeah.
So you have the option of getting a huge waste of time with bullshit VCs that won't give you the money anyway.
Right.
Or you go back to the well, but notice, maybe you've been on the kick of group one and two. You never know when group three and four, I mean, when I tell you in my group one, and I'm a giver, yeah. I've had people who I've like changed their, I'll just paint you a very clear picture. When I go to sell books, I've had people in group four that I've talked to once, forget about me being Gary Vee, I'll take it back 7 or 8 years ago, where I was like, Gary Vee, but like not this Gary Vee, right? Like, nobody did it because I was cool. They kind of knew me a little something. I had people who I barely knew, bought 50 books, just because they're like me and they're on some karma shit and they're like, I got you. I had people in group one who I got them, one person, as you can see, the passion's coming through. One person I went to bat for on an investment, reopened the funding round to get them in. It was closed. I went out of my way. Mm. He put in 50K and made $13 million on that exit and he bought zero books.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, I'm still very friendly with a person that doesn't even register.
Yeah.
I go into empathy, like maybe he was busy, maybe he didn't see it. I did him up four times. because I thought it was gonna be a big one, because like, this man made a lot of money, he's gonna buy 1,000 books. Like, I really took it, like, you know. And you know, some people don't see the world the same way. Like, I was mortified when I found out 6 years into traveling that you're supposed to leave a tip for people at the hotel. That was one of the worst days of my life. Yeah. In my entire life, one of the worst days was somewhere around mid-30s, somehow, I don't even remember now, I was like, what? You know, because I didn't grow up traveling, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I never heard of it, I didn't know. It was like the worst feeling ever in my stomach because I was very passionate about tipping and I just, sometimes you don't know the etiquette.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you know, so like, I was like, well, who am I to judge this person? I didn't know that every time I was in a hotel, I should leave something. I just didn't know. I knew if for a driver, I knew for someone taking out a package, I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't know if someone makes you $13 million, you should buy some books. You know? Why am I telling you that so long-winded? You gotta reset and you gotta go with what's reality for you.
And my one follow-up question again is in terms of accredited investors. So
yes.
I've done my research,
yep.
Safe Notes and this, and,
yep.
And what are you looking for? And that's the one thing, is like, if you want to end up in a VC, and at some point we'll probably end up in like a circular VC for a circular economy, but we don't want to do it now. We want to do pre-seed, we want angel investors, we want friends and family, but some of my friends are like, how, and I've thought about crowdfunding, and it's like all these questions of what's the best way to fundraise, and you're saying go to these people. Do I want to go to them and say, do you know anyone who's an accredited investor?
Or but don't worry about the, everyone who's an accredited investor knows, accredited investor comes from like how their financial status.
Yeah.
You're getting scared of something that doesn't matter.
But what if someone isn't one and wants to invest in us?
Your lawyer or whoever is helping you will figure that out. Most people, almost no one hits that realm because you're not asking for $500.
Right.
You're asking for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 minimum, and that's going to knock most people into that realm. She can help you with that.
Yeah, that's where you get the knowledge.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right, Maya. So we are in year four of the company, self-funded the business, and we're further ahead than I ever thought we would be in year four, thanks to the pandemic.
Sure.
It totally
changed the model.
Transformed
yep.
the business,
yep.
and we were very nimble. I am the brand is me.
Yep, I've heard of the concept.
And my struggle, or I guess why I'm sitting here, and is you talk a lot about like the posting. How do you really create capacity, right? So I do a post a week on LinkedIn, it gets 100,000 views, right? Amazing, great. Fantastic, and it's driving a conversation because that's all I wanna do. It's not selling the business, it's not talking, it's about the conversation.
Yep.
So how you talk about, you know,
well,
hire somebody.
Right off the top, when I hear that, what my spidey senses are like, she hasn't realized that she is a content creator that happens to have this business. Mm-hmm. I think me making content is more important than anything. Mm-hmm. You don't, because you're only posting once a week on LinkedIn. You haven't gone to that perspective of, holy shit, this is that important, which is wildly easy to not see.
Yeah,
I get it, because I'm old enough to know where this sits. You know, for a 20-year-old coming up the game, like, this is like such a big deal. Like, it's like the framework. And then, but for a lot of us in this room that did business before this world existed, the thought of being a content, like, that's always sounded like a side dish, but it's the main dish. Mm. Now, you like me, okay, yes, I figured out that it was the main dish, but I do 15 hours a day work with no content creation.
Right.
What you need to figure out is the next part of, like, how are you gonna make yourself make content. So then, because it's the most important thing, I was like, I'm gonna hire people to work on this. When you think it's the most important thing, you're not scared to spend $100,000 a year on two people.
Okay.
Mm. Right? Like, for me, and people are like, well, Gary, a lot of my friends are like, that's a lot. I'm like, how much money are you making? What do you want to accomplish? Mm. Like, you know, all of a sudden, like, I underpay, to this hour, I underpay my salary at my companies because I want the money to keep feeding the company.
Right.
Right? And so, but again, and then it gets really interesting. All of a sudden, you start, how many employees do you have?
22.
I am positive on my fucking heart, the 19th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd most important person in the company, if they're not doing something that nobody else does, if they're a second person or a third person or a fourth person that does what the others do, a true content on you person is more valuable than those four. So it's either a little less take home on the P&L, or if you're like, Gary, you don't get it, I'm like a bare minimum and I need this for to sustain my lifestyle.
No.
Great, well then that's not the case, hire two people.
I was a banker for that, right? So, but I guess hire the two people, I guess where, you know, you talk about hiring these young people, nobody in New York wants to work for $20 an hour.
Yep, they do.
Okay, then help me, because
I'll help you.
I'll
ready?
Tell you.
Make a video, post it on LinkedIn of the feelings you have about this, and find, listen, a lot of these kids are right, and a lot of these kids are right. And like, when somebody says to me, fuck you, Gary, you're paying minimum wage, I'm like, I get it. I get them. I'm like, you have an ideology that's from scarcity or abundance. Mm-hmm. It's one of those two. But I'm like, but you do understand, like, this really works for some people.
Mm. Yeah.
And like, I'm just following the law. Like, I'll pay $90 an hour if New York wants to make that the minimum. Right. I'm just, you know, like, same. There's a lot of fucking people who want to get in the fucking door here and are willing to, like, a lot of us didn't come up with, like, cool, I love when I get the email of, like, fuck you from Harvard Johnny. I'm like, easy for you to say Harvard Johnny. You fucking went to private school your whole life and went to fucking camp in the summer instead of worked at Best Buy. Like, and by the way, and then there's the other extreme. That's Harvard Johnny. And then there's the other person who's like, fuck you, I should be getting more. I get why, but they don't get to make the rules of life, nor do I. I'm just living.
Yeah.
I promise you there's two people who would rip their fucking arm off. There's both a Yale 20-year-old woman, or 22-year-old woman, Yale graduate, and street kid 22-year-old that would die to work for you for $20 an hour doing social media content.
Okay.
Both, one of each. And by the way, if you were building a two-person team, I would immediately build it that way. Give me Yale, Susan, and give me street kid Monica.
Just to
and
fuck work with me.
Just to work with you.
Yeah, that's where I have the struggle, because...
Hi, Kate. You know?
Yeah, you know, because you get this, oh, I gotta put it into the company.
You are the marketing.
I know.
Your opening line is, I am the company and the company is me.
Yeah.
Mm. Couple things.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to make that one post, roughly, in your mind?
20 minutes.
Right. If that 20 minutes becomes 40 and you're doing a podcast, you know how many podcasts you could get on?
Oh, I'm on tons of podcasts.
Well, every single one of those, you should post-produce the video and that should be your content on LinkedIn.
Yeah, she just doesn't have the, she was just on the cover of Entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
So yeah, I'm
more worried about getting her in the mindset of it. Notice how she's like, I'm like, she knows who I am. I assume you've seen some of my content. You're aware that my content is post-production for me being on podcasts.
Right. Yeah.
All of a sudden, you can see the path of how to get to 15 pieces of content.
Yeah.
I still publicly speak for the content.
Yeah.
I do 4Ds
right.
for the content.
Yeah.
I went to an army base in New Jersey today and spoke to them for the content.
For the content. Okay.
The content's the reason I'm doing it, and then all the other stuff is the nice to have, where everyone perceives the nice to have to be the thing.
Mm.
I don't have time for podcasts. I have time for podcasts when it gives me 24 pieces of content.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The podcasts I'm doing now are smaller than ever because I want them to be more niche for content I'm trying to get out. Right, a female entrepreneur is going to ask me different questions as a dude than like, right? A skateboard podcast I did not too long ago, I did it because they're going to ask me different questions, get me into a different zone.
Okay.
Got it?
I got it.
The other thing you can do is do open Q&A. Tea with Gary Vee and Ask Gary Vee are still what I really want to be doing. It's so fun. You're like, you literally are helping young female entrepreneurs accomplish what you did. You're just answering four questions. They're pumped as fuck.
I do it all day long.
Exactly. So then literally have one person at Luminary filming the fuck out of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You'll have unlimited content.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It will be massive for you. You especially, it's going to be like, it's a grand slam.